Well, it's a real privilege for me to introduce our guest speaker this morning for the last week, believe it or not, of this incredible series, the Treasure Hunter series. And one of you are going to speak. Okay, so I'm going to shut my eyes and the person that I stop at will speak. But you're going to present, but you must just pray that God gives you the word. Okay, I'm going to stop. When should I stop? Okay, so if you can come forward, but you must just speak. It'll be okay. Tanita, no, I'm joking. I want to introduce to you one of the youth leaders who really helped us get going in the right direction. In the direction of making sure that you don't just sit there every week and get preached at. Now, there's a lot of that happens, right? Parents tend to do that sometimes. Like they preach at you. They lecture you all the time. This guy knows about facilitation like no one I know on planet Earth. I spoke a little bit about Pomalong Ha, a school from the East Rand. And I was at a whole week with Quinton and these learners. And this guy did facilitation that had those young people like eating out of his hands. They like actually wanted to be in the sessions. It was like, please, can we do another session? And so one of our past youth pastors, one of the sharpest young facilitators in the country with Young and Able, and I want you to put your hands together for Quinton Chwane. Quinton Pretorius, otherwise known as Quinton Chwane.
Hello, everybody. A little bit of a daunting task now that I'm the best facilitator in the world to now pitch up and be the best facilitator. Good to be in front of you. Some of you familiar faces from the last service. Nice to see you. You all the guys that get up late, right? Sleeping late, like I wish I could. So anyway, I'm looking forward to engaging with you. Everyone finished with exams, eh? Who's not finished with exams? What do you still got to write? What do you mean all of them? What's wrong with you? I'm homeschooled. Ah, so when do you start writing exams? This afternoon, just now? Start on Tuesday. And so, like, do you write exams at home? Oh, cool, sort of. I wouldn't mind. So, like, you wake up anytime, write the exam, and then go have a tea break, come back. It doesn't work like it. Okay. I've always wanted to homeschool, but I don't know whether it's... Sounds cool. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, seen most of you are over with your tests. We're going to rewind, and because I wasn't in the room, I want to see how well you were paying attention during the last 7 million sessions around Treasure Hunters. And so, can somebody help me out? What was finding your passion about? Yeah. Ah, right. Finding passion. What was it about? What finding what you love to do. All right. Is that right? Right, next one, for the lady laying down on this chair. Finding your mission, what was it? You wrote down your mission statement. Can you remember your mission statement? You know, how? You have it in your room, under where? You stuck it on your wall. Part of the wall you don't look at very often, obviously, hey? I think you need to stick it on the mirror where you look a lot more often. Okay, great. So there's a test for you next time. You need to share your mission statement, right? Your destiny, what was finding your destiny? Yeah, kind of like, sort of, more or less, or it is what God placed you on earth? The purpose that God has placed you on the earth. Is he right? Yeah. All right, great stuff. Finding your way, what was finding your way? Finding the way you're supposed to go. Is that right? Finding your way to your destiny or to your coffee shop or to your movie. Finding your way to your destiny. Okay, cool. What's your next one? Finding how you got good, okay. Finding your gifts, right? What was that? Finding your Christmas gifts, your birthday gifts, your Valentine gifts. What gifts? Spiritual gifts. Okay, great. Number six is finding your style. Is that like clothing, like high fashion? What was it? Personality style. What is your personality? Your high I, high D, high C, high S, high X, high B, high five, which? High D. So you're like driven, like get to the point. Why are you doing this with me now? I want to get to the point. Hey, I'm wasting time. Let's get on with the program. That's what you think in your head, right? Okay, great. Number seven was finding your God. What was that about, finding your God? Was he under the mattress, under the pool table, in the goalpost there somewhere? Anybody? What was finding your God? Miss Service? It is finding your connection with God. How are you connecting with God? Fantastic. And today is finding your voice. Most of you, who's like 13, 14 years old? You finding your voice all of a sudden, right? I'm talking about boys, sorry. Because the girls, your voice isn't going to break. But most of the boys are like, rawr. You wake up one morning and your voice is gone and you need to start finding it, hey? I remember that. That was the most embarrassing time of my life. I woke up and my voice was gone. I had to find it. So yes, this morning is about finding your voice. And so after a little bit of thought and prayer, I found this scripture to be most relevant for this morning. That the Lord reached down in, reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. And throughout history, God has been touching people's mouths to put his words in their mouths. And one of those people is Moses, when God called him to speak to Pharaoh. Another person would be Esther, when God spoke to her and said to Esther, you need to go and speak to King Xerxes. Do you know that the book of Esther was not allowed to be read at concentration camps in Germany? Because the Germans were so afraid the power of the book of Esther because of a woman that stood up and spoke. Yet the book of Esther doesn't have the name of God written once in it. Isn't that powerful? But this woman was really, really powerful, right? And that book was not allowed to be read in any concentration camp because of the liberation of these people. Then God calls John the Baptist to become a freak in the desert, but to speak God's word that there's somebody coming and a proclamation. And then in more modern times, we have Billy Graham, who God put his word in his mouth and began to speak. And what do you think that God has got a word for you that you need to begin to speak? And so God is really requiring us to find our voice. And so this morning, I want to speak to us about what are the elements that we need to do or to have when we find our voice in God, right? And so what I'm sort of saying is that when we're speaking, when we find our voice, it's about authentic integrity and honesty. So you're speaking with this authenticity that who you are, who God has created you to be, not to pretend to be Mark or myself or Debbie or Ashley or my wife or my kids, but to speak in the voice that God has given you and to use your gifts and abilities, to have integrity. So the same way you speak to me is the same way you speak to your principal, it's the same way you speak to your mother, the same way you speak to your girlfriend, the same way you speak to your boyfriend, the same way you speak to anybody else. It's the same person. It's not like you're a different person. When you come to church, you know, you speak with thee, thou, and when you go somewhere else, you speak with yo, 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 right? It's about speaking the same way all the time, wherever you find yourself, right? And then speaking honestly. Sometimes honesty is not the easiest thing to say. So sometimes it's not easy for my wife to tell me that my breath stinks, right? But she has to, because otherwise I'll just be a flop when I leave here. So today is lots of group work. And when I say group work, it's in groups of two. So please make sure you have a partner. So I want everybody to have a partner. So just look around, find a partner, hold their hand or look into their eyes deeply. Give them a kiss if you want. So you're debating against each other. You can choose one of these topics, assisted suicide, abortion, buying first. So in other words, you kill the fox and then you wear the fox. Some of you might agree with it, some of you might not. So you've got to find a topic that you can agree on and disagree. So one of you's for and one of you's against. You've got 1 minute. I want a winner after this. Somebody has to win the argument, right? So find a topic over there. The right to bear arms, the death penalty, anything you decide, right? Are you ready to rumble? I want 1 minute. I want a winner after this. Somebody has to win an argument. Are you ready to rumble? Your minute starts now. Go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, all right. Okay, so I want to see some of the body. I want you to see some of the body language. When I first saw this, people were like, haha, that's nice. I can argue. And then it started, and then the fingers started going like this. Some people were going like this. Other people were going like this. One person, the whole argument was just going like this. No, nothing else. She just went like this. Disagreeing, not listening, not engaging. I'm right. Who won? You won. Both of you won. Okay. So how do you know? How do you know you won? How did you know you won? Because I'm better than her. Okay, shh, let me hear. are quoted from the Bible, thus I'm the winner. Okay, yes. You became speechless. And so when you became speechless, she sucked the words out of your mouth, and therefore you couldn't speak. Okay, when we argue, often nobody really wins, even if you quote the Bible, right? Even if you quote the Bible, sometimes you're not a winner when you go into a dialogue like this, or not a dialogue, an argument like this. And so what we talk about is often when we enter into discussions, it's about you go in there with your ideas firm and you keep your ears and your mind closed. Because I said there had to be a winner, you weren't going to compromise on what you believed in, right? And so often when we go into conversations with our parents about something, right? I need to be home at 11 o'clock tonight. What are you going in there? Saying my ears are closed, my mind is closed, I'm going to win this argument, right? And so no matter what your parents say, I'm going to win this argument because my ears and my mind is closed to anything else. And what you do is you start to say, I'm going to break down their argument. When they come up with this, I'm going to break it down this way. And so when we go into discussion, it's about that. But when we're talking about voicing today, it's about saying, I'm going into this with the idea that I want to win. I want to come home at 11 o'clock. But I'm going to hear their side of the story. I'm going to hear my side of the story. And when I walk out of here, I'm going to have a third option. And maybe I'm going to come home at 10:30, not at 11. And maybe it's at 10 o'clock. And maybe it's not this time, but next time we're going to. But so when you go into a discussion or you voice, you always want to know what's the third option that's available to me. And so when we talk about voicing, it's not about speaking, right? So I want you to think, like often when you think finding your voice, it's about standing up here and speaking. It's not about that. It's about how I engage with myself, how I'm engaging with God, how I'm voicing myself with people in society. So it's not about speaking. Nor is it about what I think I should say. What is it the right thing to say? Like when I come to youth, what is it that Pastor Mark wants to hear? Mark, I read my Bible 15 times this week, right? And so, or you say, what are the things that my parents want to hear? What are the things my teachers want me to say? I believe something else, but I'm actually going to say what people want me to say or how I should say it. It's not easy. Voicing is not easy. So some people don't enjoy having this one-on-one conversation with people because it's not an easy conversation to have. Nor is it easy sometimes to come up here and speak in front of people, right? So voicing is definitely not something that's easy. It's not about responding either, right? So often when I'm listening to somebody or speaking to somebody, while they're speaking to me, what am I thinking about? How am I going to respond? And I end up not actually listening to what the person is saying. So it's not about responding or being right or wrong, which is the next thing. So it's not about being right or wrong and trying to prove that I'm right and you're wrong and you have to now adopt the way that I believe or what I think, right? And so if voicing is not those things, what does it look like? What does it look like to voice with authenticity, integrity, and honesty from the heart? And the first thing is it's around being expressive. So I took this quote from acting, and acting is not being emotional, but being able to fully express one's emotions. And so we're going to have an opportunity now to go into your coach and present a role. So sorry, I jumped the gun a little earlier, right? So can you remember who was the coach? Who was the presenter? And it's really difficult to have a conversation when you're sitting in a straight line. So remember, if I took my wife on a date and we both sat on the same side of the table, is it going to be a very interactive conversation with my wife? No. So I'm going to ask you to turn and face the person that you're engaging with. We've got lots of room to do that. You can grab a chair. There's a chair over there you can grab, right? And the coach, what you're going to do is you're going to throw a whole bunch of emotions, cold, cheerful, tempered, depressed, happy, sad. You don't have to use those emotions. You can use your own. The person that's presenting has to talk now, right? So you have to talk about the topic that you... So if you spoke about voting, you're either going to be happy or sad or depressed or upbeat or whatever. Your coach will throw the emotions and you have to change it instantaneously. Are you ready? Okay, on your marks. Get set, go. All right, you need to swap now. Swap around. All right, okay. So, for some of you, this came easy where emotions flowed like the river. And other of you are like, emotion, what is that? I stopped being emotional when I was 2 months old. I stopped crying, right? Because when I looked at some of you, please don't turn to look at me. You're going to be doing lots of group work with this guy. So some of you are going to be really uncomfortable for the next little while, right? So some of you have, I think a piece of paper has more emotion than some of you that I engage with, right? And you need to learn to connect with your emotions a little bit more, right? And so to be emotional is to be expressive in the ability, in your feelings, and appropriate using your voice, your body, your face to deliver a particular message, right? And so God has given us all a message to share, and how are you using your emotions to share that message, right? And so in the Bible, for me, there's somebody like Samson, who was not in control of his emotions, right? He was all over the place with his emotions, killing lions, breaking buildings, beating people, burning people's farms up, because he allowed his emotions to take over the message that he needed to share, right? Whereas who else in the Bible used a good way to share their emotions? Can you think? David, hey? You were in the last session, so you remember. David. David had a message to share, and he was able to share those emotions, I think, appropriately. When he was happy, he danced in the streets naked, right? When he was sad, he went to his room. That's true, he did. And when he was really depressed and sad about his son, he would go and cry about it. And so he was in touch with his emotions. And he never allowed his emotions to rule him most of the time. There's one or two times that he messed up a bit. But generally, I think he expressed his emotions correctly. I mean, look at the book of Psalms, full of emotion. And that's mostly written by him in terms of how he expressed his emotions. So how are you expressing the message that God has given you through a way that is appropriate? The next one is knowing self, right? If you're comfortable enough with yourself or with your own truth, then if you're not comfortable with yourself or your own truth, then you're not ready for the relationship that you're going to enter into, right? So if you're not comfortable with yourself, you're not going to be able to enter in any kind of relationship because you're unsure about yourself. And he has a really powerful clip around knowing yourself. And I think people think you're more beautiful than what you think you are. And if you believe that every time you had a conversation with somebody, wouldn't that change the way you engaged with them? If you think that your parents thought you were much more prettier than what you think you are, or your parents thought there was more potential in you than you think there is in you, wouldn't you engage with them slightly different? Wouldn't your prayer life be a little bit different if you loved yourself a little bit more and understood who you were when you started praying rather than thinking that you're less than? And if you began to engage with people to say, you're far more beautiful than you think you are, wouldn't that change your conversation with people? And so what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to have a conversation with this person that you've been speaking to now and answer these four questions with that person. So what I want you to know about me? What is my deepest dream that I have for myself? I'm holding my back. What is holding me back from achieving this dream? And what do I want to be remembered for? Have a little conversation. We're going to give you maybe 3 or 4 minutes. So I have 2 minutes each to share this very quickly with each other. All right. And so knowing yourself is the ability to accept yourself, be authentic, reflect your own values, decisions, and actions, right? And if I'm thinking about Bible characters for me, somebody who didn't know themselves, but yet was head and shoulders above everybody, was King Saul, who was chosen to be a king, who was big in stature, but really small inside, and didn't really see himself the way probably God saw him, right? And so he always tried things to please God, because I think of an insecurity of who he was. And who was the character I used that said he believed in himself? It was Job. I think Job believed in himself, who he was in God. And no matter what was happening around him, he remained true to himself and understood, even though his wife told him, curse God and die, he said, no, I know what I need to stand for. So Saul, having a message from God, standing tall in stature, yet really small and didn't believe himself, and messed up a whole bunch of things because of that unbelief in himself, where Job, having everything taken away from him, understanding who he is, helped him prevail through that, right? And so that's the first one, was to be able to express yourself when you're voicing. Secondly, to know yourself. And thirdly, is the ability to be present. Yari is only now, and look how rich we are in living in the now, right? We can't live in the future because can't predict it. Can't live in the past because you can't fix the mistakes really in the past that's happened. You can only really live in the now. And I remember how I used to live in the future, about all the stuff in the future, and forgot to live in the present, here and now. And so now we're going to test how well you lived in the present. And what you're going to do is you're going to give feedback to the people that shared. So the person that shared, this is what I really want you to know about myself now, what holding me back is, and what I want to be remembered for, you need to tell them what you heard. Give them some feedback. So you're going to say, well, when you shared with me, this moved me, or I was surprised by this, or I'm intrigued by what you were saying, right? And so you're going to speak about what moved you, what touched you, what surprised you, and what intrigued you about what that person shared. Is that good? And that person then afterwards is going to say, yes, you heard me, or no, you were on another planet when I was sharing, right? Go for it. You got a couple minutes. Go for it. All right. Okay. Can you rate the person on their feedback? So did they listen to you really well? If they listened to you really well, you can give them 10 out of 10. If they didn't listen at all, like I heard somebody say, that's not what I said, right? Then give them a -4. No, don't give them any minuses, right? But let them know whether they listen to you or not, because you're going to have an opportunity now to, I'm going to share it now. Anyway, we'll go. So being present is being able to be completely in the moment and flexible to handle unexpected things, right? And so being present for me, when I think about characters in the Bible, for me, it was Mary and Martha. So when Mary and Martha were in the presence of Jesus, Mary was sitting, engaging, present with Jesus and engaging with him. Where Martha was she in the room with him? Absolutely. But she was running around all over the place, serving this, doing that. And at the end, she felt like, why isn't Jesus like hanging with me? And she had missed the mark because she was too busy with a whole bunch of things. And so sometimes we can be in the same room but not really be present, like some of us, right? Where's our minds? On our exams on Monday and Tuesday. We're thinking about how we did last yesterday. We're thinking about the game I'm going to play just now. Some of you are concerned about this leadership meeting happening at 12 o'clock. And so this person's busy talking, but your brain is somewhere else, right? Doing a whole bunch of other things. And every now and then when you hear my voice, oh yes, I'm back in the room now, but then your brain disappears, right? And in a relationship, it's always really good to be present, as you will find out just now, right? And so next, we're going to talk about reaching out. And sometimes it's not the strength, but the gentleness that cracks the hardest shell. And so it's about how gentle are you when you engage with people, because sometimes it's this gentleness that goes in between the cracks of the hard armor that we put on that really breaks through. And often when I work with adults and young people together, the adult comes in thinking, I'm here to teach this young person amazing things. And then the young person just shares and bees who they are, and they sneak in between the adult's big armor crack, and they touch the adult in a way that an adult has no idea. And so it's this gentleness that we speak about, like this clip. All right. Now, I'm not sure why you're laughing, whether you've had this kind of conversation, where there's a nail in your head, but you don't want them to fix it. Just listen to me, right? Often, can you see in the clip, when he tried to stop fixing the problem and saying, that must be really difficult, he connected with her, right? In a really powerful way and in a meaningful way that was meaningful to her. And often people don't want you to fix their problem. All they really want you to do is listen, right? And so now we're going to check whether you've been listening. And so what we're going to do is you need to demonstrate your ability to build relationships through empathy and listening and through connection by retelling somebody else's story. So the story that the person shared with you about, I want to be remembered for the thing that's standing in my way, you're going to go tell somebody else that story. But you may not tell them the story. You need to change it. How many of you watched The Life of Pi? So right at the end of the movie of The Life of Pi, after he tells the story about the tiger and the chimpanzee and being on the boat and the floating island, all that stuff, The guy says, but what did they say at the hospital? They said, well, I had to tell them another story where I was on the boat with my mother and the cook and somebody else, and the cook ate the person and my mother killed the cook. And then my mother, you remember that? Right? And he never saw. And then he said, which story do you prefer? And the guy said, the story of the tiger, right? So now you've been told the real story. I'm going to give you 1 minute to think about, how do I retell the story that this person shared? And then you are going to go tell that story to somebody else in the room today, right? So you may not share with the person you've shared now. You're going to go make a life of pie story with somebody else, right? So I'm going to give you 1 minute to think about it, and then you need to go. And in other words, people on this side of the room are going to share a story on that side. You're going to share that side, and in the middle, you're going to swap around. So you're not going to share with, you're not going, no, not on the same couch. In other words, you're going to go share your story over there. No, and you're going to share over there. All right, so are you ready to move already? I'm going to give you 1 minute. This is 1 minute of thinking time, and then you can move. So maybe just some ideas about stories. Straight in, for example, so you don't waffle or waffle. You go, once upon a time, there was a boy. Or, it was a big day in the middle of the night. Two dead men had a fight. They stood back to back, whatever, right? Straight in. Hey? All right, I hate to end a great story. Is there anybody that would like to come and share their story up front? Who heard a great story that thinks everybody should hear it? Okay, great. Thank you.
Great story. Come.
Who's going to share their story? I need one or two. Come on.
Okay. Basically, this person is like a DJ, you know.
Once upon a time, there was a DJ.
Okay. Well, once upon a time, there was a DJ. This DJ, he liked to entertain. He liked to make people happy, you know. And he just wanted to talk to somebody. But he couldn't talk to this person because in the club, it's always noisy and it's making people happy. And, you know, they never get to share anything. So he wanted to share about, you know, how he was feeling and his loneliness and his experiences, but he could not because he's a DJ, you know.
And so, the story there, right?
Yeah. Let's not get in. Did it feel like he connected with you? Did he do justice for you? Yes, he did. Okay, great. Is there somebody else that would like to share their story? So you're going to share your story. Seeing that you're nominating somebody else, you're going to share your story. Come on. Yeah.
Okay. Once upon a time, there was a girl, and this girl's name was Chanel.
No!
No. You're not supposed to go into the detail. Okay, all right, and it's like, once upon a time, there was a girl, and she went into the forest. Like,
okay.
The life of Pi story. Yeah,
Okay. So, once upon a time, there was a girl, and this girl had a strong desire to become an interior designer, but she couldn't. It's not that she couldn't, but she. The only thing that was stopping her was that her school didn't do art.
Okay, that's enough.
Okay,
right. So Chanel, did this guy? Is that the true story? You want to be an interior designer? Is that? You see, you failed the test. You failed the test. You were supposed to come up with a fictional story. Something that was like, so this young girl wanted to travel the world, but there was a bicycle and she didn't have, you get what I'm saying? So you're going to have to come back and do it again, right? All right, not now, right? And so the ability to listen to somebody else's story and put interpretation to it is really, really powerful. How are you telling story when you're using your voice? And so reaching out is the ability to build relationships through empathy, listening, and authentic connection. It's about how you're connecting with people. And so I thought about which Bible character can I use around this? And so I thought about a couple, but I couldn't find anybody else that wasn't reaching out. Because for me, this is God's story. It's about reaching out. He wants to reach everybody. And from the time the Garden of Eden, God has been reaching out for us. He's always been reaching out. And so it doesn't matter whether you mess the story up. If your intention is to reach out, I bet you that God is going to use you in your voicing when you voice. Right? And so if you're voicing, it's about how do you express, knowing yourself, being present, and reaching out. And if you're doing this in your communication with yourself, with your friends, your parents, with God, if you use these four principles, your voicing becomes fundamentally more powerful and impactful when you begin to do that. I'm going to end with this clip and then one more two stories.
Introducing the new Apple iPerson, complete with multi-touch and volume control. Doesn't it feel good to touch? Doesn't it feel good to touch? Doesn't it feel good to touch? My world is so digital that I have forgotten what that feels like. It used to be hard to connect when friends formed cliques, but it's even more difficult to connect now that cliques form friends. But who am I to judge? I face Facebook more than books face me, hoping to book face-to-faces. I update my status, 420 space to prove I'm still breathing. Failure to do this daily means my whole web-wide world will forget that I exist. But with 3,000 friends online, only 5 I can count in real life. Why wouldn't I spend more time in the world where there are more people that like me? Wouldn't you? Here, it doesn't matter if I'm an amateur person as long as I have a profile. My smile is 50% genuine and 50% genuine HD. You would need Blu-rays to read the whites of my teeth, but I'm not that focused. 10 tabs open, hoping my problems can be resolved with a 1600 by 1700 revolution. This is a problem with this evolution doubled over. We used to sit in treetops till we swung down to stand upright, then someone slipped a disc. Now we're doubled over at desktops. From the Garden of Eden to the branches of Macintosh, apple picking has always come at a great cost. iPod, iMac, iPhone, iChat. I can do all of these things without making contact. We used to sprint. We used to sprint to pick in store blackberries. Now we run to the sprint store to pick blackberries. It's scary. I can't hear the sound of Mother Nature speaking over all that tweeting. And along with it is our ability to feel as it's fleeting. You would think these headphone jacks inject in the flesh the way we connect the disconnect power on. So we get powerless. They got us love drugged like e-pills. So we e-trade, email, emotion like e-commerce because now money can buy love for $9.95 a month. Click to proceed to check out, click to X out where our hearts once were. Click, I've uploaded this hug. I hope she gets it. Click, I'm making love to my wife. I hope she's logged in. Click, I'm holding my daughter over a Skype conference call while she's crying in the crib in the next room. Click, so when my phone goes off on my hip, I touch and I touch and I touch because in a world where there are voices that are only read and laughter is never heard, I'm so desperate to feel that I hope the technology can reverse the universe until the screen can touch me back. And maybe it will when our technology is advanced enough to make us human again.
And this is so powerful because we're longing for real connection, not connection online and stuff. And you find that people that are connected online become detached in the real world. And they don't know how to begin to engage and voice. Because when we voice in person and we express our emotions and we're present, we know who we are, and we begin to reach out to people, we become fundamentally more powerful in the way we voice, in the way we touch people and engage with people. People want to be touched. The final story is about this guy, Pastor Martin. He used to support the Nazi regime. So in his church services, he would propagate for the Nazis and say that the Nazi and Hitler is right and all the rest of it. And this is one of his famous speeches that he spoke about when he was in the concentration camp. When they first came for the communists, I did not speak because I was not a communist. Then they came for the socialists, but I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. And so how are you using your voice to speak God's message? Because one day you're going to expect somebody to speak for you. And when you didn't speak for them, why should they begin to speak for you? And so one question is, how are you using your voice to speak God's message? And finally, is that God is speaking on your behalf right now. So even though you might not think that you're worthy, He thinks you are. And He is speaking on your behalf right now. As there's an accuser that is pointing fingers at you, there's somebody that is defending you, that is speaking on your behalf, that's reaching out on your behalf. And so voicing is a really powerful tool. And our Father is using it, our Savior is using it. How are you using your voicing? Shall we pray? Father, we want to thank you for this ability of speaking that you've given us. And Father, how powerful this voice is that you give us, that we are able to speak life and death. And at the same time, Lord Father God, sometimes we don't speak. And so, Father, a challenge for us as we leave here this afternoon, Lord, is how are you using our voice to speak for people that don't have a voice, Lord Father God? We pray that you would give us courage as we walk out this door to speak on the behalf of others, Lord Father God, and that we would use our voice that will glorify you. And then also, Lord, an encouragement on our behalf, knowing that you speak on our behalf, and we're thankful that you're speaking on our behalf, that you represent us in heaven, Lord Father God, and that when we come and represent you here on earth, we know that you are representing us over there in heaven, Lord Father God. And so we thank you that you've believed in us before we believed in ourselves, and that you stand in the gap for us. And so we want to thank you for this in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.